There are lots of ways that we can approach a potential client. But in this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to talk about an approach that goes against everything you were ever taught about prospecting. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 50,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our prospecting download. Going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast. If you'd like to have a look now, and you can do so safely, like you're not in the car or anything like that, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. All right, so today we're going to be talking about a counterintuitive approach to prospecting. Now, when I say a counterintuitive approach, and in the beginning I was saying this goes against everything you were ever taught about prospecting, one promise I want to make right out of the gate, because when you heard that, you might have thought, okay, is he going to get sleazy here and tell us to be deceptive or anything like that? Absolutely not. So I just want to put you at ease. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about kind of how we were taught to go about prospecting, and we're going to do the complete opposite. So let's just kind of go there, because by now you're probably like, all right, what the hell is he even talking about here? So think back to how you were taught to prospect when you are going after a particular organization, right? You were taught to go as high up in that organization as you can, right? Now, you've probably heard me say this before, and you're probably like, all right, I don't even need to listen to this. I know where he's going with this. He's going to propose, you know, going lower in the organization. Yeah, I absolutely am. But today I'm actually going to tell you how you could do it effectively. I don't think I've ever done that on this podcast. I've kind of told you, hey, you know, going as high as you can in the organization might not be your best bet, but I've never broken it down as to how you can go lower in the organization. So first of all, I want to give you the why behind this, because I don't want you to think, all right, well, you know, he's just trying to be different and there's no purpose to this, right? Well, going high in the organization is important in terms, you know, when we get that high-level decision maker, we absolutely want to work with them. They're great for, I don't know, signing freaking checks, right? Signing POs. They're also incredible when it comes to removing the speed bumps in the organization that can get in the way of the deal. Getting other people to fall in line, especially if they have that authority, right? So we absolutely need them. But there's a challenge with high-level decision makers. And the challenge is this. Sometimes when you are high up in the organization, you know, like that 30,000 foot level, as they say, the problem is that you kind of become detached from the day-to-day. You don't see things at ground level anymore, at the street level, you know, from the trenches. And what can happen as a result is that, you know, they really don't, I don't know, feel the pain, I guess. They really might not appreciate the value in what you're offering. So sometimes, and I'm not saying every time, sometimes it might be better to approach differently, especially if, you know, I think this might be ideal for you. If you're just getting nowhere with that decision maker, they won't even like let you get to first base. They won't even agree to a quick discovery call with you. They're not seeing the value in it. And that's okay. That's what can happen when you're at that level. We can't blame them for just not feeling it, right? So, but how do we get them to feel it? Well, we might want to approach lower in the organization. You know, like the people who actually feel the quote-unquote pain, the people who would actually see the opportunity. Now, just very quickly, I don't know if you saw, if you kind of caught what I did there. That's kind of another thing. And another podcast, I guess, we're going to have to kind of go there. Is that's kind of another thing from the very beginning of time in sales. We were always taught to find the quote-unquote pain. And it's very important that we find the pain. But don't be so obsessed with finding pain that you forget about another driver of change. Another driver of change is people wanting to embrace opportunity. So in other words, things aren't always going to be painful for people. You know, sometimes it's they'd rather just see an opportunity, right? An opportunity to, you know, increase production. You know, nothing's painful with it, but, you know, they can kind of improve upon something or whatever. And you know what? Hey, how cool would it be if you can have both pain and opportunity in the mix? Now you're really getting them, you know, to the point where they want to get off that fence of indifference. So I just wanted to kind of point that out to you. So now, if you go lower in the organization and you're looking at people that would actually feel the benefit and could actually see the value in your solution, yeah, it's not such a bad thing, right? So now, the theory here is that if you go and approach lower, then what you can do then is there's two different suggestions that I'm going to make today, all right? And this is going to tell you how you would go about this. So, and a lot of the steps, and there's not many steps, by the way. Each one of these has like, one of these suggestions has three very quick, easy steps. The other one has five very quick, easy steps. But the first three in both of these are pretty much the same, right? Pretty much identical. So step number one, if you can get people on board, and especially the different stakeholders, right? Lower in the organization than that high-level decision maker who can decide whether or not this is a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You obviously want to have that discovery call. You obviously want, this is kind of step one, have that thorough needs analysis. Then what you're going to do is you're going to prepare a really cool document. And this is so simple to do. I call it concerns and solutions. So you're going to prepare, after that needs analysis, a concerns and solution document. And all that is just kind of, in a way it's a recap, but you're just simply just in a bulleted type of form stating the concern, just very, you know, short and to the point, and just kind of a little potato chip of an answer of what your solution might be to that. So you're going to take the areas that they voice concern. Now what I would do, and this, we really need to make this almost non-negotiable how I would go about it, is I would use their words and phrases and put them in quotation marks. My reasoning behind that, well, there's a lot. Some of it involves a little bit of psychology. First of all, you're kind of mirroring them, right? And, you know, we know that mirroring is very strong. It's a very strong tactic when it comes to rapport building. Except a lot of people do it the wrong way. A lot of people know mirroring as I lean back, then you lean back. I tilt my head to the side, you do, and you look like a freaking pantomime. And most people suck at it, by the way, and it's highly detectable. But shit like this, you know, just mirroring their words and phrases, that's more undetectable, I would say. It shows that you were listening. But when you see what we do with this document and they see the quotes, they know that this was said to the sales rep, right? This isn't just this person just putting words in our mouth. This was actually said from my team. They're saying this. So it packs a lot more weight. So it's basically coming from them. They're doing the selling. So you're going to prepare this document, this concerns and solution document. And you're going to keep it in your back pocket, so to speak. Step number three, you're now going to, you know, approach that higher level decision maker together. Now, the way that you're going to approach them together is you're going to have someone, one of those stakeholders that you met with, be the point person, if you will. And they're going to send an email to this high level decision maker, CCing all the stakeholders that have been involved in the discovery call and, you know, the needs analysis and all, and you're going to get CC'd on that email. And what they're going to do in it is just kind of the gist of that email is that they're going to say how they met with you. They're going to say that there was some interesting findings that you guys all put together as a result of that conversation. It really, you know, opened some eyes and ears, this conversation. And then they're going to kind of put a call to action in there. And the call to action is going to be suggesting a quick call with you. Right? And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the first approach. So again, you do the discovery call, nice thorough needs analysis. You're going to prepare that concerns and solutions document. You're going to both approach that higher level decision maker together. By together, we mean someone from that group of stakeholders is going to be the point person. They're going to approach on your behalf and everyone else's behalf, CCing you and the other stakeholders. They're going to mention how, you know, it was an interesting discussion. There was some interesting findings. They're going to propose, you know, a quick call with you to kind of review those findings, right? And that's where you're going to use that concerns and solutions document. Because then you can, if you're able to get an appointment that way now, what you're going to do is you're going to share some of the ideas from the concerns and solutions document. And then I think it would be a really good follow-up piece after that conversation that you're able to get. Now, the reason why this works and why we're seeing some really good results with this approach that I'm mentioning is because it's coming from the inside. It's coming from their team. The other reason why it works, and the little bit of psychology that's involved here, is that it kind of creates some intrigue, right? Like, oh, wow, what did they come up with, right? I think it also plays on that whole FOMO concept, fear of missing out. And I think it could at least intrigue them enough to get on a call with you. But I believe it's packing a lot more of a punch because obviously people on this person's team have found it valuable to have a dialogue with you. So most decision makers, at least that I've met, value the opinions of the team. Yeah, there's some idiots out there that don't. But I would say the vast majority do. So you're really playing on that. So that is the first way that you can approach with this whole start lower and move higher. The second way that you can do it is you're going to meet with those stakeholders. You're still going to do a discovery call, complete, you know, nice thorough needs analysis. You're still going to prepare that concerns and solutions document. But here is where it's different in step three. Instead of a champion within the organization being the, you know, that point person and approaching the decision maker, you're going to approach the decision maker. Now, you might be thinking, well, why would you do that? Well, if the other person doesn't want to get involved, I don't want to do it, but if you do, I'll get your back. Okay, so now you got plan B here that I'm giving you. So what you're going to do is you're going to be the one who approaches the decision maker. You're going to CC all the decision makers who were involved in that meeting. Now, one little suggestion before I get into a really cool email tactic that we're going to use when you send the email. One cool tactic that you might want to think about is if you're in a situation where they don't want to approach the decision maker, but they'll get your back, then you need to tell them, all right, no problem. I'm going to approach through an email. I'm going to CC everyone. But what I need you guys to do is kind of reply all, or if you want to kind of forward it and put your two cents in and send it to that high level decision maker, you've got to get my back. And that will give it more firepower if you get them to do that, okay? So the next step is a little something something called the call to action. Now, I do it differently. One of the things, if you've been listening to me for a while, if you've been through my courses and my webinar, I suggest a different type of call to action. We call it the reverse call to action. Now, let me explain why. In a typical call to action, especially in an email, it might be just, you know, asking them if they're interested or reply to this email, click here, that type of thing. You're basically asking them to do something. The problem is that these high-level decision makers are busy. They might have great intentions of doing it, but a lot of times they don't get to it. So we want to do a little bit of a pattern interrupt here and do something a little differently. And that's why we want to do the reverse call to action. The way that works, the reverse call to action, is that instead of asking them to do something, you take charge and you say something along the lines of, I'm going to be calling you at 10:30 on Thursday, right? Like, you tell them the time and the day that you're going to be calling them. And what you're going to do next is you're going to sprinkle some potato chips in there. So what are we talking about with potato chips? The whole point of using a potato chip is to make them hungry and not feed their belly. You know the deal. You can't eat just one. So what you're going to do here is give them a potato chip to make them hungry for that call. And the potato chip here is mentioning how you've documented the findings, that, you know, you have, you know, a complete account of the concerns that were expressed. You want to just review it with them very, very quickly, you know, just to see if this is something that they would like to pursue, that you've basically done the legwork already. And I'm going to be calling you on Thursday at 10:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, whatever way you want to phrase it, because I have some interesting information that your team shared with me about. And then you just kind of talk about the underlying challenge that they're having or the opportunity that you might be able to help them embrace. And then what's cool about it now, when you call that day in time that you said that you would, you're going to begin the call differently. And you're going to simply say, for example, if you're calling Janice, hi Janice, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. I'm calling you, ready for this? Wait for it, like I promised I would. See, that doesn't sound like a cold call, does it? Right? When you say, I'm calling you like I promised I would. And that simple little silly little phrase changes the whole trajectory of the call. So you're going to kind of begin that way, and then you go from there. And that's it, folks. I mean, it's just a different way for you to approach an account. So either you can right now say, you know what, I want to approach the ABC company. I haven't approached them, or, you know, it's been 8 months since I made an attempt to go after them or whatever. I'm going to use this approach that Paul's talking about, right? You could either do that, or again, if you have just, you know, an account that you've been trying to get into, and this person is not giving you the day, you know, the time of day, they're not returning your calls, they're not responding to your emails, that type of thing, then, yeah, this might be the way to go. So that's it. You know, completely useless until you get out there and give it a shot. Now, before you go, I just wanted to tell you quickly that we have a download, especially if you found value in that tip that I just gave you. We have a download that I think is going to come in handy for you this year. we all know that in order for us to hit the numbers that we want to hit this year, we have to make sure that we're creating a sufficient amount of opportunities. And if we reverse engineer it further, if we want a sufficient amount of opportunities, right? Well, we definitely have to be setting appointments and creating those opportunities. So I've created a download that, and it is complete with, there's four sales lessons in there talking about different ways to go about your prospecting. I've also included templates for email, for the phone, for voicemail, for LinkedIn. And if you'd like to learn more, oh, and before I even say that, this is a complete go at your own pace type of thing. So you can purchase it now and, you know, do a little bit today if you want. Get out there, digest it a little bit, start working some of the ideas. Then perhaps next week you can do a little more, but go at your own pace. And there's even homework assignments in there. Not because I want to be a dick and just pretend like I'm your teacher or something like that. But I just thought that it might be valuable to you to be able to get some feedback from someone without, you know, having to invest in, say, the coaching course, you know, the coaching program that I have. So we'll be doing all that too. So anyway, if you'd like to learn more and you really want to get after your goals this year, like you didn't just write them down because, well, that's what I'm supposed to do at the beginning of the year. And if you recognize that to get different results, sometimes you have to do different things, right? And change your mindset a little bit. I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.